Good morning. Welcome to Encounter Life. I'm Pastor Dwayne McKinney. I'm so glad that you could join us on this Sunday morning. We're excited about what God is doing here. If this is your first time tuning in to our Sunday worship experience, I'm excited. I'm happy that you chose to worship with us today, that you took time out of your Sunday to come worship with us today. But we want to just connect with you, let you know that we're so happy that you did choose to worship with us. So if you could, really quick, text the word new, that's N-E-W, to 301-804-2520. Text the word new, N-E-W, to 301-804-2520. We just want to say what's up, and we're glad that you chose to worship with us today. Today's a special day. You all, if you've been watching and following us, we've been on a series we call Under My Skin. And it's a play on words. And it's based on really how we can establish good relationships in the matter, in the climate that we're in with the racial tension in our country. Some people call racial reconciliation, whatever we call it, reconciliation, restoration, however you want to call it. But the series is called Under My Skin. And we use Under My Skin because it's a play on our words, because all of us are really more than what's on top of us. Under the skin, we're all the same. But also I said under my skin because when you hear under my skin, it reminds me of irritation, something that bothers me. And I think it really bothers the heart of God that the racial tension, racism, I believe is against the heart of God. And it's something as the body of Christ that we have to address. So we, over the last 3 weeks, have been addressing it. For week one, we talk about the power of one. We talked about how the gospel, how Jesus Christ is the solution, and how we're all a part of one. He wants us to be a part of one body, and we're made from one blood. Then week two, we talked about the importance of being a good listener, to shut up and listen. A lot of all the tension that's going on in our world is because nobody's listening. So we talked about being good listeners. And then last week, we said, just do it. Let's just put your faith into action. On Father's Day, as men, we have to model what it means to be men of God and put our faith into action. And in doing that, that means going and caring for those who are disenfranchised and those who are on the outskirts, or those who've been abused and those who've been deprived. And that's what God has called us to do. And we talked about that on Father's Day. And this week, I'm excited. Speaking of Father's Day, I'm excited to have my father with me, Dr. A. Lorenzo McKinney, who is the founding pastor, the pastor emeritus of Encounter Life Church, as we started as the Washington Christian Center 45 years ago. And I'm excited for him to be with us and join us today on this Sunday morning as we just bring the word. And I thought it was fitting because as a man of God, and many of you who have followed him over the years and who know this man knows he is a man of the word. He is a man full of grace. And I thought he would be a perfect person to help us talk about the topic that we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to be talking about simply forgiveness. Forgiveness. Because if we're talking about racism and we're talking about, just the power of one and all going out and doing the work and fighting injustice, you know, as a person of color, as a black man in this country, sometimes, you know, as black people, there's some issues that we have because of the abuse and the oppression that we've experienced. But God is calling us to forgive. And this lesson is not today, Pastor Mac. We're not just talking about forgiveness when it races, but right. Forgiveness is a topic for anything.
Yes.
know, so when we talk about marriage, when we talk about in relationships on the job. Right. So though we're dealing with racism overall, this topic of forgiveness can apply to anything. So can we pray? Can you open us up, Pastor Mac, in a word of prayer as we start this morning?
Yes. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to come and discuss and consider the word of God as it relates to this topic of forgiveness.
Yes.
We just pray for all those who've tuned in to listen to us today. We pray that you give them ears to hear, hearts to receive what has been said today. And we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name and for his sakes. Amen.
Amen. If you got your Bible, your phone, or whatever, we're gonna use this one text, our main text, Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at three verses 12, 13, and 14. Colossians 3, 12, 13, and 14. And I'm reading from the New International Version. I'm going to read it. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You know, that right there is forgiving one another. If any of you have a grievance with someone, and forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Mm-hmm. And today we're just going to be talking about that topic of forgiveness. And as just as a segue intro, Pastor Mac, when we've been talking about racial reconciliation and racism and fighting injustice, you know, I've had the benefit of growing up in your house.
Yeah.
And knowing those who don't know, if you could just kind of tell us where you're from, so you kind of give a context on this whole racial deal when we talk about forgiveness, where you're from, and a little bit about your background as it relates to this.
I was born in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and lived most of my life in a city called Pine Bluff, Arkansas. It's down in the deep south. Mm-hmm. And as a child growing up, I had an opportunity to see what it was really like to live under the oppression of this idea of white superiority, mm-hmm. and racism. And I'm a son of a pastor, too, so I learned what it really means to live with forgiveness, because we had no power over our lives.
Wow.
And that's a difficult situation to live. And I remember a lot of instances in my life growing up where we had to suppress what we really felt in order to survive.
Okay. And what you saying? I want to interrupt you because you said a lot of incidences.
Yeah.
And so we're in 2020 right now. Yeah. And so some people say, man, you know, we're not dealing with those kind of incidents. Can you kind of give some context? You have any of those incidences that stick out in your mind?
Oh, yes.
That you can share with us or some of those examples.
Yeah. I remember my dad, who was really a wonderful, wonderful man of God himself. I remember I had to drive him to work sometimes. And he worked at a cotton compress, and his boss was a white man. And I had to drive and I had to take him to work. And I remember the instances where he'd go into work and hear his boss call him boy.
Wow.
And in front of me as his son. I can imagine how that made him feel going into work that way.
Man, with how many kids?
We had 12 of us. And he knew that if he spoke back or just said anything of a disapproval of what the man said to him, it could cost him his job.
Yeah.
If he lost his job, he wouldn't have any income.
Yeah.
So he had to suppress all of that. And I know it must have been painful for him to allow have his son listen to that kind of exchange,
mm-hmm.
With a white man who was the boss of him.
Yeah.
And we had those kind of instances all the time.
Yeah.
I remember, too, riding on the bus going downtown right after the civil rights movement started. And I sat down next to a white man in the bus, feeling free.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the white man pulled a knife on me.
Wow.
And said, "Get up, nigga." And so
what'd you do?
I got up. Because I know I didn't have the covering of the police in that area.
Wow.
So those kind of instances, they stick in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's sort of the experiences that I had.
Yeah.
But even in the midst of that, we had to learn how to live and not have this bitterness and hatred within.
Right. Love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And you had to be able to interact. And now here we are all those years later. Mm-hmm. To be able to have people that you work with who are your coworkers and having that context, if you can't let that go, that can be
devastating.
It can be devastating.
Yeah.
So with forgiveness, there's some couple of things, the points that I just want to probably ask you some stuff about. And y'all know I'm the acronym guy. I'm the acrostic guy. So I just came up the word forgive.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage you, when we're talking about this race situation, it's important for if you are a victim of injustice, a victim of racism, if you are a victim of unfair treatment from a spouse, whatever it is, God's called us to forgive. And forgive, I'm going to give us these letters for the word forgive. I guess it's seven letters, seven points that I want to give us, and we're just going to talk about them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, F, in forgiveness, I thought about it, and I said facts, faith, then feelings.
Yes.
Facts, faith, then feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about, I'm a Campus Crusade kid when I was in college, and that was the thing that they would always talk about, facts, faith, and feelings, that how important it is that, number one, the fact is that God has called us to forgive.
Yes.
You know, forgiveness, sometimes it's not something that you feel like doing.
Most of the time.
So how is it, and so when if it's a fact, because in his word he says, you know, to forgive one another. That's just like a command.
Yeah, it is a command.
You know? Mm-hmm. So how do you get to that place? Because I know a lot of people say, look, how do you answer somebody who said, and I've heard people say this, well, how can I forgive somebody if they have not said I'm sorry?
Yes.
How do you address that? You know, like, God's telling us to forgive. I may not feel it, and that person may not have ever said, I'm sorry. Can I still forgive somebody if they've never really apologized?
Well, I think how you phrase it, the three things you talked about, fact, faith, and feelings,
mm-hmm.
that's an order, too, that you have to consider. The fact is, what does God's word say about it?
Amen.
It's a command that we forgive. And so that's, we have to come to grips with that. That's counter to how I feel. Because when someone injures you, you don't feel like forgiving them.
Right.
It's just not the natural sinful, being from a sinful nature, it's not natural for you to want to forgive that person, feel like it.
Right, right.
But since you believe the word of God, that fact comes first.
Yeah.
And then from that comes faith. Mm. Faith is calling those things that are not as though they were.
Mm.
See, so the faith part is that you have to embrace based upon your relationship with God.
Amen.
If you don't have that relationship, you can't come by the faith. Faith comes from the word of God.
Yeah.
And so that's the basis upon which you believe God, and the feelings come after that. That's the end thing.
That's the end thing.
But if you start off with feeling, you're going to get messed up.
Yeah, that messes us up. Mm. And with the feelings, sometimes they might not, I mean, they don't come soon,
no.
You know.
Mm-mm.
It's not like it's, you know, it always comes along right away.
Yeah.
It can be a while.
But you see, the way you get to that feeling, you have to believe what God says.
Yeah.
When you believe what God says, if you you act on the fact of the word of God,
yeah,
and you operate based on faith, and that faith comes by hearing by the word of God, and that faith can't come unless you have a relationship with him.
Mm.
And that comes from that being born again.
Yeah.
And so when you get the faith, then you believe what God says about it.
Amen.
And so.
Amen. Well, and it's so hard. Like, I'm thinking about racism, but
yeah.
I'm thinking about in my marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, I don't know about anybody watching me. Sometimes my wife will say something to me that I don't necessarily feel like forgiving
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Like, she could be dead wrong as two left shoes.
Yeah.
And so, but it's a matter of obedience. I think it's like with anything in our lives.
It's a matter of obedience, and it's a matter of the basis for it is love. Just like, for instance, you gave an example about your wife. The reason you don't act the way you feel is because you love her.
Mm.
And that love prompts you to want to do that which is in the best interest of the person that loved.
Yeah.
And so that's what has to happen with us in these relationships. Were you talking about race or husband-wife relationship? You first say what God said, because God says to a man, love your wife the way Christ loved the church. What does that mean? That means you got to give up your life.
Wow.
And you can't do that out of love.
Wow.
The love for Christ constrains me.
Yeah.
So when you have that attitude about it, then you see the big picture rather
yeah.
than what you're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. That dying. And that dying is marriage. We talk about it in marriage, but with this whole race thing, it's a dying thing.
It's a dying thing. Yeah.
I'm gonna move from this point, but I'm reminded of a situation that he told me years ago. During the riots in D.C. after
yeah.
Dr. King was killed. And you told me about a time where you were riding, I don't know, near
yeah.
in D.C.
Yeah, 14th and Park Road.
14th and Park Road.
Yeah.
And knowing you've experienced a white man sticking a knife in your side, call you nigger,
yeah.
and telling you to get up. And you've experienced your father being called boy. I've heard you talk about how your mom had to get up off the bus to let a white kid sit down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having seen that, and then the riots come out, and you told me about an incident that happened.
Yeah.
Where a guy was running down the street.
Two guys. Yeah.
Two white guys,
yeah.
And what happened?
Well, I was at 14th and Park Road,
mm-hmm.
and it was at the height of the riots.
Mm-hmm.
And some black guys were running after these white guys. They were ready to do them in, man. And I was parked at the light, and the guys opened the door and said, Mister, would you please get us out of here? So they got in the car, and I drove them to safety.
Wow.
That.
And see, that's forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because you can harbor that bitterness and say, bruh, I'm going to start Park Brothers. He's right. They're right here. Because, you know, sometimes I can see me like, bruh, here they go. I'm going to stay right here. And y'all go ahead and get them out the back. But that's the heart of our Savior.
Yeah,
denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following.
Yes.
So the first thing in forgiveness is facts.
Yeah.
What is God saying?
Yes.
Then put our faith in those facts.
Yeah.
And then our feelings, we pull that behind us. So that's the first key in forgiveness. The next letter of forgiveness is O, and I came up with this. Overcome the we forgive because forgiveness helps us to overcome the oppressive effects
yes.
of unforgiveness.
Yes, yes.
Forgiveness helps us to overcome the oppressive effects of unforgiveness. When we think about those oppressive effects of unforgiveness, what are some of those things, out in all these years of pastoring, being my pastor, my dad, and having counseling people, some of that unforgiveness, how have you seen that manifested?
It manifests itself in bitterness,
mm-hmm.
hatred, the desire for revenge, and that eats up your inside.
Yeah.
It doesn't do much for the person that you have these feelings against. They might be perfectly fine.
Completely oblivious to it.
Up to it. But it eats on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Which is why I think the Savior tells us not to harbor that.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he knows what he loves us. He knows what's best for us. You know, some of the things I wrote is loss of health and vitality.
Yeah.
And in the book of Psalm chapter 32, verse 3, David was talking about when he had, because we have to understand unforgiveness is sin.
Yeah.
And so David said, when I had sin in my heart, he said in verse 3 of Psalm 32, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. It can have physiological effects, ulcers, just holding on to that. I heard someone say, you know, holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness is like setting out rat poisoning and you eating it.
Yeah.
You know, the rats in it, you know, they don't get affected. It's killing you.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, that's huge. So overcoming the oppressive effects of unforgiveness, loss of health and vitality, loss of your joy.
Yeah.
You know, when you have, you know, it affects your relationship. I mean, if you hold on to that, it can affect your own marriage.
Oh, yes.
Stealing your joy, and also generational bondage. You know, how many times have we seen that people who have an unforgiving spirit, it kind of trickles down, you know, to the next generation.
It does, yes.
You know, you carry that bitterness, and it affects generational bondage, generational dysfunction, depression. These are some things that you got to let go, overcoming the oppressive effects. When you forgive, it's like it's a releasing.
It's a freedom. It's a freedom.
Yeah. But, you know, what I found that is part of us, though forgiving is a releasing, I don't know, part of me sometimes doesn't, I like being, it's dangerous and it's detrimental to us, but what is it about us that likes that feeling of still being upset at somebody? Just holding on to that.
That has to do with the sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
Sin nature that we have. We are selfish.
Okay, yeah.
We want our own way. And the way of the cross is a way of death.
Yeah.
And we don't like that.
Yeah.
And so we tend to operate in frustration, even though it does us damage.
Yeah.
Mm. See, that's why it's so important for us. Bible says, except a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God.
Wow.
So unless you come to see life through the lens of what God says that he designed for us, we miss the wonderful opportunity of living in freedom.
Amen.
And what Christ says, Jesus Christ came to set us free.
Amen.
He that the Son sets free is free indeed. And these feelings of bitterness and hatred and animosity that's built up as a result of what has been done to you, it does you damage rather than...
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And as we talk about the racial divide, we can see that. I mean, there are two different, you see two different ways of combating it. You know, on social media, I hear people, man, it's time for us to take up arms and, you know, we about to shoot back, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you feel that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever I was recently, man, I was watching a special on ESPN on Nelson Mandela. And it was about the Springboks, the rugby team in South Africa. And after Mandela was freed, the Springbok emblem was a representation of the Afrikaners, the ones who had the minority who had taken over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the black people there, they just did not want any association with that. But what Mandela did when he became president and the rugby team there, they had the rugby tournament World Cup there in South Africa. He went and put on the uniform that represented the racist ideals of that country.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his people didn't understand it. But what blew these white guys away on that team was Mandela came to them and talked with them. And you know, and he forgave. They saw this man had been in prison for 27 years.
Yeah.
All that he's been through, and he's still reaching out to us and showing forgiveness. It broke those guys down.
Oh, yeah. It's power in that.
It's power.
It's very much
power. It's a release. And for him, it's a release.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's a release. So, you know, it's so important. Forgiveness. Facts, faith, feelings. Forgiveness is important because it'll help you overcome the oppressive effects of unforgiveness. There's somebody who's watching today. You're holding on to some bitterness. You're holding on to some unforgiveness from a spouse. Holding on to some unforgiveness because you're black and you're holding on to some unforgiveness to some white folks who've done some things to you. I know it's happened to me, but I'm here to tell you that You know, that he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yes.
And one of the things that I noticed, and even when I said it, you got to let that thing go before they even say, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's yes.
Before they say, I'm sorry. Because forgiveness is different than resolution.
Yes, that's an important distinction to make. Then.
Forgiveness, you can forgive somebody without having resolution necessarily.
Yes.
The forgiveness is for you.
Yeah.
You need that forgiveness to say, I'm free. I'm not holding on to that anymore. Now, resolution, that takes two to tango.
Yeah.
But you have to forgive whoever it is, whether it's a white person, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a coworker, whatever it is. You got to do that because now you'll be bound by those oppressive effects. So the next letter of forgiveness is R. And okay. I think with this, when we talk about forgiveness, sometimes it's hard, but the letter R stands for, you got to remember how much I've needed God's forgiveness myself.
That's a big one there.
Remember how much I've needed God's forgiveness myself.
Yeah.
Because we're all with feet of clay.
Yeah.
You know, and 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
You know, in his word, he goes on to say, it's a broken and contrite heart he doesn't despise.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm tempted to be bitter or hold on to unforgiveness, I got to remember that, man, I'm a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm a mess.
Yeah.
And in this, let me ask you, because a lot of times we think that if the shoe was on the other foot, I'd be different.
Yeah.
So when we talk about this forgiveness piece and remembering that we've needed ourselves, so sometimes as black people, we could say, you know what, I'd like to think that if we were in power, we would not be the oppressors. What do you think about that? Do you think that if the shoe was on the other foot, would things be different?
Well, you know, I think we have to consider what God says about us.
Mm-hmm.
We're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity.
Yeah.
And so we could not credibly say that if you were on another foot, we would be different.
Yeah.
But one of the things I'm reminded of was when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray.
Yeah.
One of the items in chapter 6 of Matthew says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are in debt to us.
Mm.
So the picture here is for us to just always, like you said, remember what we needed.
Yeah.
Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
So the kind of forgiveness, Bible says, we're not worthy of in the least of his mercies. We're not worthy of that. And so, but in that state, while we were in that state, Christ forgave us of our sins.
Yeah.
And he says, I will remember them no more.
Mm.
That's a very powerful thing. He said, I will remember your sins no more. And so we have to always consider that. And that should make us humble and give us no basis upon which we can feel high-handed in this situation.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But it still requires that those who've been our oppressors come to grips with the truth of what the scriptures have to say.
Yes. Yes.
And yes.
And this whole forgiveness piece does not absolve the other party from getting their stuff right. So you know, we could say we talk about turning the other cheek, and we should.
Yeah.
But that, I don't want anybody to get confused by us saying the importance of forgiveness and turning the other cheek now says, okay, we do not hold the other party's feet to the fire.
Yes, yes.
That's what we talked about fighting injustice because our Savior, he's a heart.
Yeah.
He's against injustice of any kind.
Yes.
So while we are able to forgive, I can still forgive you but still call you and hold you accountable to be obedient to what God has called you to do.
You have a standard by which you make that evaluation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's accountability. That's what the scriptures tell me to do. Faithful are wounds of a friend. Iron to sharpen iron. I'm supposed to. If I see you in a fault, you know, I'm supposed to, I've got to bring it to your attention, call you to account.
Yeah.
And as a man of God, when we're talking about racism, when we're talking about race, as a black man, a fellow believer, if I have my white Christian friend, I see the racist tendencies, I got to call you to account.
Yes.
That's all the while still forgiving you.
Yes, yes.
All the while still loving on you. So. Yeah. But on our end, you got to remember how much you've needed it.
Yes.
God's grace and forgiveness.
And the thing that prompted God to do it was love. Mm,
his love.
His love. And
his
so
love.
And the way he loved us, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
So the love is a motivating factor that allows us to ignore our feelings.
Yes.
And walk in obedience to what he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments.
So the love is the piece that makes it all work.
Pulls it all together. That's what in our passage he says, verse 14, at the end of 13 says, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together.
Yes,
and perfect unity.
Yes.
You know, the love is the key.
The love is the key.
His love for us. The love of Christ is what compels us. His love for us compels us, and we love because he first loved us. So F, facts, faith, and then feelings. O, forgive because it helps you to overcome the oppressive effects of unforgiveness. And we talked about some of those. Loss of health and vitality, loss of your joy, generational bondage and dysfunction. And then R, remember how much that I've needed God's forgiveness myself. Remember that, that there by the grace of God go I. I have to remember that. And then G is this. Because, we talked about this in our first week when I gave some steps and I got all those R's. I said, once you do all of that work, then you're going to have to repeat it. And the G stands for genuinely release the person or the issue to God and don't pick it back up again.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one, man.
Genuinely release it to God. Forgiveness requires you, God, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm not going to pick it back up. You know? I had a, I don't know if you've had an experience in all your years of counseling. Pastor Mac has counseled and married so many different people. And praise God, most of whom are still together. But sometimes if you, I'm newer in this deal, but you see people say, I forgave her. But I had one couple say, I forgave her. But every time we have a conversation, that thing keeps coming back up again. So, how does that genuinely releasing it to God, how does that? Look, we talk about forgive and forget. Sometimes we can't, we have memories, we'll remember, but how do you genuinely release something to God and not go back to it?
Well, it goes back to the word again. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So when you're holding something, sometimes the reason we hold it because we feel like the person's getting away with something. And so but when we consider that God is sovereign over all these things, he might not bring it to pass when you think you need to see it, but he says, vengeance is mine, I will pay, says the Lord. He says, as much as it's possible, live with peace with all people. So, but when you put God in the center of it and you know that he's sovereign, nobody gets away with anything.
Amen.
So we have to release it to them. We can do that when we know that God is always just. He's always fair. He's going to do what's right in every situation.
Amen.
So when you can release it, when you believe the word of God, it says that vengeance is his. And you can release it to him. And allow him to deal with it.
Wow.
That brings freedom when you can do that.
Amen. And I mean, as I hear you say that, and I think just as I've had the privilege to watch this man and his grace and how gracious he is to people, and I hear the forgiveness, how you can, someone who's done injustice to your people and you can still say, look, I'm gonna help get these people to safety. And I go back and think about our ancestors. And how they were able to be, you have to be able to do, to trust that God, you are just. And if you don't, if you're not able, I'm going to trust you to take care of them. Because if they didn't do that, able to do that, they couldn't survive. Genuinely releasing the people to God, and letting him take, because he knows best. He knows best. And that goes back to the love, and it goes back to point number one, facts. That God commanded us to forgive, and that he's in control. That's a fact.
That's right.
That he's sovereign. So we're all the way down to the letter I now. We got forgive, F, facts, faith, and feelings. What does it mean? The fact is God has commanded us to forgive. It's not a choice. And we have to put faith in God, faith that he's sovereign, that he's in control, that he has it. And then your feelings come later. You don't wait till you feel like forgiving till you forgive. I forgive because God has commanded me to. Forgiveness helps me to overcome the oppressive effects of unforgiveness. And we talked about the bitterness, the depression, the generational bondage that can occur, loss of joy, loss of your health and your vitality, all that can happen because of holding on to that unforgiveness. And then R, we said, remember how much that you've needed forgiveness from God. Forgiveness from God and forgiveness from other people. We've all messed up. We all fall short of God's glory. So the R, to remember how much I've needed forgiveness and grace. And then G, once you do, you say, you make up your mind to forgive, that I have to genuinely release it to God. You know, I have to genuinely say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm letting it go, and I'm not going to put my hands back on it. You know, I'm not going to pick that back up. I'm not going to keep rehashing it. We got to genuinely release it to God. And now genuinely releasing God, say not keeping rehashing it. Now, I don't want anybody to confuse when we're talking about, especially when we're talking about this racial thing. There's some people who get like, exactly, Pastor Dwayne, don't keep rehashing it. Why do you keep bringing it in our face? Now, if I'm also called to hold you accountable when I see you falling. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't forgive you. I forgive you, but still, we got to get you right. Okay, because we got to be consistent with the heart of God. So that, you know, that's that. And then letter I. Letter I is forgiveness is important because it impacts my relationships with other people.
Yes.
We kind of tied this in a little bit earlier, but forgiveness impacts your relationships with other people. The people that don't even have anything to do with the situation that you're mad at.
Yeah.
You know, how many of you been mad at your children? I mean, mad at your wife and you keep snapping at your kids.
Yeah.
You know, you know, or you, how many times have I seen it that you come to work, I've gone to work, upset at my wife, and I got patience to deal with, and I'm short talking about, Dr. McKinney, what's wrong with you? Why you got your face all frowned up? You know, it had nothing to do with me being upset with my wife. Yeah. That's not your fault.
Yeah.
And so that's so important that if I harbor unforgiveness, it affects my relationships in my family and in the body of Christ.
Yes.
You know, I know you've probably seen that happen, you know, especially in the body of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you got someone who can't let something go in another relationship, how they bring that in to other relationships.
Of course, all of these things are interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in community.
Mm.
And so it's so important for us to let it go.
Yeah.
Because you can do that if you really understand the relationship that you have with God.
Yeah.
And what he has said about this. When he gives you a command to do something, he's taken under consideration everything involved in that in order to be able to make that transaction.
Yeah.
And so when we can let it go, you're saying, God, I trust you to do what's best in this situation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, that's so important, that community piece.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we feel like we can compartmentalize, like, you know, that I got this, you know, I have an issue with unforgiveness for somebody from my past. I may have an issue with white people.
Yeah.
Okay. You may have an issue with black people.
Yeah.
Somebody, you might have an issue with a coworker, and that's something different. I don't have, that doesn't necessarily have to affect, you know, the other relationships, but it does.
It does. Yes, it
you
does.
Know, and you, and it's hard, I tell people all the time, it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame.
Yes.
You know, you don't recognize it, but everybody else can.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important to deal with forgiveness because we don't live in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And it impacts.
And
you
the
know,
thing that helps you a lot with this is to recognize what God had to do to forgive you.
Mm, come on.
Because all of us have so much baggage of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And God looked at all of that picture and forgave it all.
Amen.
And said, I'm not going to remember it anymore.
Amen.
And won't ever be held against you. And in addition to that, he says to you, when you come and receive my forgiveness, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish.
Amen.
That's a huge deal.
That's a huge
deal. And so when I consider that, how can I hold something against somebody who may have done something that just offended me a little bit?
Wow.
Our sins have offended God so much that he sent his son to die on a cross to pay for the sin debt.
Wow.
That's huge. So that removes any reluctance that I should have when I can understand how much he loved me.
Mm.
And gave his life for me. And then he brings me into his family and says, I'll give you eternal life. You'll never perish. That puts it in perspective.
Man, yeah, that's big.
Yeah,
that's huge. That when you think of that how far he went, that wraps it up.
Yeah.
You know, so the letter V, we're almost done, guys. And thank you guys for bearing with us. And I thank y'all for Pastor Matt being with us this morning. But V is... forgiveness is important because it's vital to my intimacy with God.
Oh, that's.
It's vital with my intimacy with God. David said in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, if I had held on to bitterness, if I held on to unforgiveness, you know, I'm here. If you're watching this morning, if you got some unforgiveness, you got to get ready. You got to deal with that. You know, you have to, on the facts, put your faith in the facts. Don't worry about your feelings because it's vital. It will block your relationship with God.
Yeah.
It inhibits your prayer life.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, when you have that. When you know, how can I, the Bible in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 4, how is it that I can say I love God who I haven't seen, but I deal with my brother who's right next to me.
It won't work.
That I can't, it doesn't work.
No.
You know, and so that's so important. Forgiveness is vital to my intimacy with God. I didn't know if you had any thoughts on
well,
that.
I was
well.
Thinking about that because when you consider what God did on our behalf,
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to have an intimacy with him, how could I enter into his presence?
Mm.
Because he entered into our world.
Yes.
And took action.
Yes.
And so if we want to enter into his world and have that communion and fellowship with him, how dare I come into his presence with this bitterness, which he has commanded me to be rid of,
yeah,
to forgive.
Yeah.
So that does hinder our relationship with him,
yeah,
our intimacy with him.
It's like you said, bear with each other, forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Yes.
You know, it's vital to that intimacy. I kind of think about in Matthew chapter 18, he talks about that the king or the ruler who had a servant,
yeah,
who had a debt.
Yeah.
And, you know, he couldn't pay it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what, I'm going to forgive you.
The whole debt.
And the whole debt. And then the servant had a little small debt that one of his homies had.
Yeah.
And he going to hold it against him.
Yeah.
And the king's like, man, uh-uh. Yeah. You got this messed up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
now you're holding unforgiveness. I've forgiven you.
Yeah.
And now you won't forgive somebody else. Our relationship is jacked up.
Yeah.
Until you get that right.
Yeah.
You know, get off your knees, you know.
Yeah.
You know, stop the singing and the dancing and all of that other kind of stuff, and you got to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, so today, if you're watching, you know, it's all, I mean, this unforgiveness piece affects all of us. You can't put it. You can't compartmentalize. You can't say, look, that's in this little area of my heart. I mean, that's just a little area. I don't have it right. All of us have areas that we don't have right. But just so you know, if you want intimacy with God, if you crave that intimacy with God, your relationship with God, your prayer life, your devotional life. There may be somebody today say, God, I got some unforgiveness. I got some relationships that need to be restored. It could be in this racial piece.
Yeah.
You might say, look, if you're a black person, I'm mad at white folks. I'm just mad at them. Mm-hmm. And it just eats me up inside. I'm going to tell you, I've been there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I've been there. And I've had to ask God, forgive me, because I've said some things, I felt some things. And you got to begin to say, Lord, I forgive them. And then, look, I'm going to relinquish them to you. I'm going to leave it to you, whoever that was who offended me.
Yeah.
Because I value my relationship with you more than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's so, so important. So F, facts, faith, then feelings. O, forgiveness is important because it helps you overcome the oppressive effects of unforgiveness in your life. R, remember how many times that you've needed God to forgive you. G, genuinely release that person, that issue to God, and never pick it back up again. I, if unforgiveness impacts my relationship with others. And V is vital to my intimacy with God. And E, I wanted to end with this. We've been talking about it and alluded to it. Is when I forgive, I emulate the Master's love, grace, and forgiveness.
Yes.
You know, Ephesians chapter 1 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness, when I forgive, I emulate the Master, because that's what we talked about. You know, he forgave us.
Yeah.
And the whole goal, and it's an evangelism thing. It's
yes,
a it's a it's a it's a gospel proclamation thing.
It is. Yes.
You know, when I forgive somebody else, I'm being an example to what Christ did, and I can show that person,
yeah,
the love of Christ,
yeah,
and therefore you win them.
Yeah, and because love has a multitude of sins.
Mm,
the Bible tells us.
Amen.
And so the thing that Christ did was an expression of God's love.
Yeah.
And what God is saying, you need to do the same thing.
Yeah.
We love him because he first loved us, and so therefore, if I'm going to emulate him, I have to follow his path. So, you know, when he was on the cross, he says, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. While he's hanging on that cross, and the people that he was forgiving were the ones who were crucified him. See, and so that picture we must get in our mind of the kind of love God has for us. And God,
amen,
says, emulate that. So that means I can't demand that the person who's offended me pay penance or do anything. That's not how God loved us.
Man.
While we were yet sinners, he Christ died for us.
Amen.
And so, but that love is what causes, what draws us to him.
Yeah.
And in the same way, when we love that way, that causes us to draw those who are offended by, who has offended us.
Amen.
So that's the pull. Now, if we want to emulate him,
yeah,
we must be motivated by love, just like God was motivated by love.
Yes.
And we can do that because he's poured out his spirit within us and gives us the capacity to do that and the ability to do,
amen,
that.
Can't do it in your natural.
Won't have, never
it won't
happen.
Last.
Won't last.
Willpower don't do it.
Willpower won't do it.
Yeah.
It has to be something that's happened inside.
Supernatural.
It's supernatural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just think about that. When he gave that man on the cross,
yeah,
I'm asking you to forgive them while they have me on this cross.
On the cross. And which makes it so more profound, he said, the Bible says he could have called legions of angels to come to deliver him.
Wow.
But he refused to do it because he had our best interest at heart.
Yeah. Well, the big picture.
Yeah, the big picture. Yeah.
The big picture. Forgiveness is about the big picture.
Yeah.
It's a God thing. It's a gospel thing.
It's a gospel thing.
No you problem. Know, so whether it's a racial issue, whether it's a person on my job, a person in my family, that forgiveness thing, because I was not worthy. And while I was a sinner, he died for me.
Yeah.
While I'm hanging him on the cross, he's saying, Father, forgive him.
Yeah.
Because the big picture is he wanted a relationship.
He wanted a relationship.
You know?
Yes.
And so that kind of goes, that takes us back, that last letter really takes us back to our first week. Because the first week, I talked about the power of one.
Yes.
And I said, we have one God, and he made us all from one blood, and he designed us all for one purpose. And that purpose is to be in relationship with him.
Yes.
You know, and that's the one purpose, to be in relationship with him. But we have one problem.
Yes.
And that's sin.
Yes.
And that sin is what separates. It's like unforgiveness separates. And so it was only fixed by one way, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yes,
so,
yes.
He had the big picture in mind when he sent Christ. And so for you and I, forgiveness is about the big picture. It's not about me. Sometimes I have to give up my rights and give up my own liberties.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 2, he says, you know, he had the right to be God,
but
he didn't. He gave up that right,
yes.
You know, because and became obedient to death because he had a big picture.
Yeah.
You know, and so today my encouragement to you is to forgive, whether it's with race, whether if it's in your marriage, whatever relationship, God is calling you to forgive. And he wants you to forgive. And on the basis of the facts, faith, and then feelings comes last. We forgive because it'll help cause you to overcome the oppressive effects of unforgiveness. We forgive because we remember when you spend time remembering how much you and I have needed God's forgiveness and the forgiveness of other people. Just remember that. And then genuinely release it to God. Genuinely give it to God. Don't pick it back up again. And remember that when I forgive, it impacts my relationships with other people.
Yes.
With my children, with my wife, with other people, in the body of Christ. It impacts. We're made for community, like Pastor Max said. It impacts those relationships. And it's vital. V is vital to my intimacy with God.
Yes.
If you're watching today and you're holding on to some unforgiveness, I'm here to tell you, you're out of fellowship with God. Some other things in your life may not go like they should because God said, I want you to get that right. It's vital. And then finally, we forgive because we emulate the Master. We emulate his grace, emulate his love and the forgiveness that he had for us. And it wasn't because we deserved it.
No.
It was not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy that he saved us.
Amen.
Before we close, Pastor Mac, is there anything that you want to just kind of leave? We're gonna give somebody an opportunity to experience God's forgiveness. But before we do that and give you that invitation, it was just something that you would like to share with those who are watching us this morning.
Well, I think that the time in which we're living right now, and the moment of, in our history right now, I see something happening here that will lend itself, I think, to us coming to a place where we can forgive, particularly as it relates to this race issue.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you said in one of your messages previous, you talked about the importance of listening.
Yes, yes.
And I think that what we're having, and it is very important for the larger society to listen, because the scripture says one place, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Mm-hmm. And to confess means to say the same thing as God does.
Mm-mm.
And what I see happening in the larger community now, willingness to listen now will bring them to a place, I believe, where they can begin to call it what God calls it.
Amen.
And when we do that, we can make some progress toward this matter, really not only forgiveness, but reconciliation or a healing of the wounds that have been put upon us over this period of 400 years.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Pastor.
It's my pleasure.
That's my pastor. Yeah, that's my pastor. I've been blessed to have him as my spiritual father and my biological father.
It's been a blessing.
And I thank God for you. I thank God for your input in my life and the life of this ministry and so many others. And we just want to appreciate it and just say we thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for carrying the work on.
Amen.
You're doing a great job.
Amen. Amen. Listen, this morning, before we close, I want to give someone opportunity to experience God's forgiveness. And he loves you, you know what? No matter what it is that you've done, he loves you. I tell people all the time, he loves you just like you are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And God created you and I, but Mac was talking about relationships, community. God made you and he designed you to be in relationship with him, but that relationship was broken by something called sin. This just means to fall short of God's standard. God's standard is perfection. He wants you and I to live with him, but God is perfect and we're not. And so that nothing can bridge that gap. We cannot do enough good stuff to make us good enough for God. The only good enough for God is perfection. And the only one perfect is God himself. So God established in his word, he established many, many years ago that without blood being shed, there could be no forgiveness of sins. You see, when the first man fell short of God's standard and he did his own thing, God in his love gave us a free will. And in our free will, man chose to do his own thing. But what God did, even in that, and he's showing his love, he killed an animal so that he could provide a covering for man's sin. And he established that blood had to be shed to cover our sins. And so he established that, and it's still true today.
Yeah.
He said that without blood being shed, there could be no forgiveness of sins, and it has to be perfect blood.
Yes.
Couldn't be anybody. Had to be a one that was like me, human like me, but unlike me in that he never sinned. So God, who is perfect, became man. Emmanuel. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth so that he could qualify to be my sacrifice. He lived like you lived. He went through everything that you and I go through, and he never sinned so that he can qualify to be the sacrifice. And he allowed us to put him on the cross. He shed his blood. He died and he was buried so just for our sins, but he rose again to justify us, to make us right with God. And God and his word says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. He said he'll forgive you of all your sins that you've ever done, no matter what it is, and he'll give you eternal life, and you'll never perish, and he'll give you abundant life, show you how to live right here on this earth.
Amen.
And if you want that, to experience that forgiveness, it's very simple. Just say, God, I admit that I'm not perfect. I admit I've fallen short of your standard. I believe you sent Jesus Christ to be the solution to my mess ups. I believe he lived, that he died, that he was buried, and he rose again. And I make the choice to invite him into my life, forgive me of my sins, and make me who he wants me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Amen.
Man, if that expresses the desire of your heart, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to encounterchurch.net/next-steps. encounterchurch.net/next-steps. And then there'll be a little form you can say, look, I made a decision to accept Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Listen, if you're watching today, you got some unforgiveness that, and you say, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Christ, but I got some things I need to ask God to forgive me for. Can I pray with you and pray with us today? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for forgiving us. And thank you for your unconditional love and your grace. And I pray for my brother or my sister who's watching today, who's been harboring some unforgiveness in their heart, and you've convicted them. I thank you for your mercy, that you've given them an opportunity, Lord, to get it right. Let them experience your love and forgiveness. Pray that, God, that now that you will fill them with your power and the power of your spirit so that they can walk and obey you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Listen, thank you for watching us today at Encounter Life Church. We're so glad that you joined us, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Again, if you recommitted your life, or if you accepted Christ for the first time, go to encounterchurch.net/next-steps and fill out the form there so we can connect with you and give you some stuff to help you grow in your walk with God. Amen? God bless you.